The biggest weekend of the Chikara calendar is once again here. King of Trios 2016 is happening this very weekend, and I wouldn't let this go by without another Viva Chikara running down. Anything and everything happening this weekend. Justin Houston's here. Justin, are you excited? I'm excited.
I'm excited. I'm kind of gassy. I feel like from the quesadillas. I was gassy before that, so I don't know what's going on. But I'm also really excited for King of Trios.
More information than I asked, but thanks.
You're welcome. I'll also let you know that I've been watching a lot of Chikara. We had, of course, that live show that just occurred. I watched another one of the England shows. I got one more to go there, and I guess there's more shows that's going to be posted on Chikaratopia here soon. So, all things Chikara, you gotta love it.
Yes, definitely. I just started the first of the two Toronto shows. I'm pretty behind in reviewing. It's the busiest time of year for me at work. And I've been kind of watching other stuff at home. So, yeah, I just started it today. I only got two matches in, but hopefully I'll have reviews for that stuff coming up because I got like the two Toronto shows, the second hour of Power, the network special, and then, of course, King of Trios won't be that far behind. So I got to catch up. But I also did watch the network special, No One's First and You're Next, live as it aired. You watched it on demand. Justin, what did you think of the show overall?
I thought it was pretty good. I wasn't blown away, but I'll say I had fun. I had fun watching the show. It just the big thing is the sound mixing. The sound mixing really needs to be fixed because you can barely hear the crowd at times, and it was the thing I was most worried about the live show. But in general, the presentation was good. The matches themselves, I thought were good. Nothing really. I don't. Off the top of my head, nothing really jumped out and that I loved. I think part of that is it's just I couldn't hear the crowd very much, so it's hard to kind of get into some of these matches. And I just don't think I love Heidi Lovelace and Princess Kimberly. I don't think they have any chemistry together. I just don't like their matches, I guess, or not as much as others do, because I didn't care for or understand what was going on in this match. I mean, there were parts of it that, that were telling a good story, but there were some missing elements. But I loved the opener. I will say that. I totally forgot about the opener with Zack Sabre Jr. and Dustin being there,
That was
returning.
not the opener.
That was oh wait no
Was,
Ophidian and
yeah, Ophidian
Hermit
Hermit Crab was
Crab.
the opener. It
That's
was like
right.
4 minutes, but it was the opener.
I flipped those in my head. Yeah, that was they really I feel like they started the match at the finish of a longer match. Like they just went right into it, and it was again just without the audience there. They only really popped really big for me in the Sabre Dustin match, which I thought was great. And I enjoyed that quite a lot. It
Now,
was
did you have the spoil of Dustin returning to Chikara before you got to watch it on VOD?
yes, I did.
Was it my fault?
Yes, yes,
Oh, come on, Kevin.
I was like I mean it was a couple days after the show anyway. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. But I feel like I had seen or I was vaguely aware that he was back anyway. Yeah, that was but it was still it was an awesome match. I think what was this the 7-on-7? Is that what the that single fall match was? The Epic Colony versus Nazmaldoon?
First of all, it wasn't the colony, it was just a whole bunch of ants.
Well,
And yes, it was 7 for
I
7.
called them the Epic Colony because I thought that's, that's fairly fitting. Just the spectacle of seeing, a colony of seven together, something that I think we've all sort of hoped for at times, but never thought we'd see, especially just the odd mishmash of ants that had to join them to make it possible. And Pinky Sanchez being right in the middle of it was a pleasant surprise. So yeah, I liked the show as a whole. I just felt like I felt like it was it wasn't I was enjoying the UK shows more than I enjoyed this one, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was a very good show, not a great show. I do think the Dustin and Zack Sabre Jr. match was the best of the night. Part of me, I'll be honest, part of me kind of checked out too because I had some friends over and stuff, so I wasn't watching with a keen eye at times. So when I'll be, of course, going back and watching it for review. So obviously there I'll give my thoughts, but you know, even in general, just the vibe I got, and maybe it was just because the crowd was so low, was that, you know, what I'm watching is good to very good, but not like a super great pay-per-view or anything like that.
Yeah, and I should specify too. I said I wasn't enjoying it as much as I was doing the England shows. I'm really enjoying those shows. Those have been great. I just watched the third one, the one I was looking forward to the most, and I've discovered the only thing scarier than an angry Eddie Kingston is a happy Eddie Kingston. It's really terrifying.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there.
Yeah, he has this sort of, I mean, he was all over the place. He was happy as could be. And then he wrestled Bryce for like 5 seconds and called his own three count. It was very strange, but really kind of amazing and refreshing to see him like that, especially because he got a pretty intense promo before it. You know, warning Hermit Crab, I'm not going to overlook you. I should, because I got a lot on my plate, but I'm not going to. And then he gets there, and he kind of overlooks him. And they just say on commentary, they're like, boy, Eddie Kingston better not overlook him. And he gets chokeslammed by a crab. Just the idea that in his, you know, how many years has this been for Eddie Kingston being in Chikara? And he's still sort of refreshingly surprised by the wacky characters that leave the Wrestle Factory. That alone was really worth watching the whole show. But I've been having a blast with these UK shows.
And they're all in Chikaratopia. So go check them out.
Yeah, and more stuff coming. I mean, they got that. After those shows, we've got they went back to the Wrestle Factory for a show, and they had those two shows in Canada, which should be up soon, I imagine. They were like taped on like the 23rd of July. So
yeah, so a month from after the release. So I'd say probably right around, if not right after King of Trios, they'll probably be on there.
Yeah, that sounds right. So and then with Trios coming up the pipeline too, there's a lot to be excited about if you are a Chikara subscriber. And that's just the shows. That's like just the shows that they produced to be put out on the network, let alone any other live stuff they try to do for Trios or just in general where they're like, oh, we're going to do another Hour Power or something like that. So yeah, it's been a great investment.
Well, that brings up an interesting question I was going to ask. Do you think at any time during this weekend they're going to test the Chikaratopia stream?
I would say yes. I think they is the whole thing at their Wrestle Factory?
No, King of Trios, it's in Easton.
I didn't think so. I thought it was, I thought that most of it was there. I thought maybe they might try some setup. Yeah, you know, I've talked myself out of it. I think they're going to try to perfect the in-house what they're doing before they try to potentially take it on the road. I mean, I could see them trying, but I think the smarter thing is just if they could get that in-ring like with transitions and with the interviews working right, if they can get that seamless, they are really going to have something special on their hands. And I mean, it's good now. It's still good. Everything I'm describing is good. I feel like I always have to preface this because I feel like there's a sect of people that listen to this and go, why are they watching Jakar if they aren't fans? But that's not the case. I nitpick the things that I like the most. If I don't like them, I would just say something broad, like Jared Leto's the worst Joker ever, or why aren't we walking out of this movie? But I'm saying specific critiques because I care and I like it a lot. I think they'll keep it in house and they'll just they'll do King of Trios. They'll keep that tape.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I can see them periscoping some stuff, like especially at the Conclave, they might try to periscope the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
They're just gonna leave alone. I think that's just too much to deal with. They might try to get some rough edits of like King of Trios up or something like that, but I don't think anything live will stream. All right, so we keep having connectivity issues, but we've talked about the Conclave, we've talked about all that stuff. Let's get into King of Trios 2016. 3 days in Easton, Pennsylvania, September 2nd through September 4th. Same format as usual. All the first round matches on night one, quarterfinals on night two, semifinals and finals on night three, with a bunch of non-tournament action, including the Rey de Valladares and the Tag Team Gauntlets. We're going to talk about all that stuff, but I think we should just start from the beginning. Start with night one when all eight trios matches are taking place. Justin, are you ready?
I am red meat, yes.
You're red meat?
Yeah, isn't that what you said? You said, are you red meat?
You know, I guess humans would technically be red meat, no?
Yeah, I was just answering a question. No, I'm ready. You said, can you do a bracket for the show? And I was like, well, I think there's already one up on Wikipedia, which when you responded, no, like your predictions, was pretty much the stupidest text I had sent that week. So, yes, I have my predictions set, and I'm so fascinated. You, before the show, off air, you said this was pretty easy for you to fill out. I struggled with this, specifically one first round match that I guess we'll get into.
Well, I wasn't like, oh, this is easy and there's an obvious winner. It was like in my head, I pretty much had what I want. Like there was a nice fluidity to the way I picked my first round winners. And then I was like, okay, this seems like an easy pairing for the second round. This was a bit harder, but then finals, I kind of had set in my mind. I kind of had the finals I wanted in the winner and then kind of worked backwards from there.
Really? Okay. I have something in mind as well. And I might be shooting myself in the foot and just ruining my whole thing here, but I guess we'll see.
Okay. Well, the first I've written down these opening round matches, I believe announced. So the first one I have here is the Colony, Fire Ant, Soldier Ant, and Silver Ant. The first time they have teamed in Chikara in a very long time. In a trios match, I should say. Just the three of them. I believe it was April 2012 was the last time. And there'll be Big Deal, which consists, of course, of the Big Deal, a.k.a. Hornswoggle, and his bodyguards Sloane Caprice and Rick Roland. Now, something to keep in mind here, Justin, is that Silver Ant's arm was injured for the No One's First But Your Next special by the Nightmare Warriors. So he wasn't in the match. His arm was hurting. And Chikara on Twitter has made it clear that his arm will still probably be hurt. Do you think that affects the outcome of this contest?
I hope not, because I forgot about that. And it didn't factor into my choices. but now that you've said something, yeah, probably.
So does that mean you have the Colony advancing?
Yes. Yes, I do. I have the Colony advancing over the Big Deal, Team Big Deal, simply because I realized that would free up the Big Deal for Rey de Valladares.
I think the Colony will win as well.
Perfect. Oh, you do? Even in the face of said injury. So you knew that ahead of time, and you still chose the Colony. Okay, interesting. Maybe I'll change up my choices on the fly here.
Don't do that.
I can. You won't know that I did it. You tell me what to do.
Okay, well, you're locked in for the Colony anyway.
Yeah, I can't. Well, no. The Colony.
All right, we have Team Police Squad of Officer Warren Barksdale, Super Cop Dick Justice, and Detective Bill Carr, the latter two making their Chikara debuts, in addition to their King of Trios debuts, taking on the United Nations of Juan Francisco de Coronado, the Proletariat Boar of Moldova, and Prakash Sabar. I think United Nations are winning this one.
This was the hardest one for me to predict. This was the one I was talking about. I have no freaking clue who's going to be going through in this match, because the United Nations were utter failures on the pay-per-view, and there's nothing. Why would they suddenly improve in the face of the law? That makes no sense to me. So I solved it. I really thought about it. I made a bunch of diagrams, and then I went, oh, I know. And I looked to my left, and I looked to my girlfriend, and I said, hey, don't even think, just answer, Police Squad or United Nations? And she said, Police Squad. So it's the Team Police Squad's winning.
Okay, so yeah, they're definitely going to win based on our last year's episode.
Yeah, you had to remind me because I forget all, even when I'm successful at something, it's just, it's gone after a year apparently, that I nailed all of last year's opening round matches. So lots of pressure here. So far, I've gone with...
I don't know if we nailed all of them, but every time you disagreed with me, you were correct.
Oh, okay. I think I once you said it, I think I remember that I went 8-0. I missed a bunch of stuff later, but I feel like I went 8-0 last year. I'll have to go back and check.
Tweeting about that after I was like 0-3 yes. to start the show.
Yeah, it's pretty glorious.
Good for me. All right, so then we move on to Team JWP, Hanako Nakamori, Manami Katsu, and Command Bolshoi against the Osirian Portal of Amasazen Ophidian and their partner, Argus. What do you think here?
This was, again, I actually think that this is a really good field in general because there are a lot of matches that I feel like could go one way or the other, but I kind of settled on what I thought would be happening on night two, and I went with Team JWP.
So did I.
Interesting.
Yes, I don't think the Portal and Argus are long for the Trios tournament. Portal likely to make an appearance in the Tag Gauntlet.
In what form? Are we going to see, you know, the guys from last year? Are we going to see potentially Ophidian and Argus go at it? Maybe a strong pairing with them. Or, and this is an interesting option, they could stop doing the Tag Gauntlet.
We'll talk about that when we get to the Tag Gauntlet. That is not the worst idea I've heard.
Okay.
All right, so match number four I think is a pretty easy one to call, but a really good match on the surface. We have Warriors 3 of Princess Kimberly, the Estonian Thunder Frog, and Oleg the Usurper taking on Team CWC, which is a team of three guys from the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. You got Drew Gulak. You've got Cedric Alexander making his Chikara debut. And you have Johnny Gargano making his return to Chikara for the first time in about 3.5 years after he quit Fist and hasn't been seen again. Now, for me, the Warriors 3 are one of the more likely teams to go very far and perhaps win the whole thing. And if we're going to, you know, get to it, Cedric Alexander has a PWG booking on Saturday. So the whole team couldn't necessarily wrestle on the second night of King of Trios. So with that, Warriors 3 are my pick.
Boy, it sure makes it a hard call, huh?
Right?
Yeah.
As far as I know, Cedric Alexander has not perfected cloning or time travel, so...
You would think he had, based off some of the reactions that he'd gotten in that tournament. But all right, so yeah, I have the Warriors 3, even without that information. I had the Warriors 3 going through. I'm assuming Gulak gets pinned. Obviously the Warriors 3 strong team going through.
Yeah, and I think Gargano is going to appear the rest of the weekend. You know, it's no secret that he is, the end of September, he will be done with the Indies and full-time with WWE. So I think, I'm really glad he's here because I think it's great that he's going to get a send-off being a two-time Campeones de Parejas and a pretty big part of Chikara in its latter years before it shut down. So
yeah, for sure.
I'm really excited to see what he does the rest of the weekend. But you're right, even if Cedric wasn't going to be in Bola on night two, I would have predicted the Warriors 3 to defeat them anyhow. That should be really good.
Yeah, you mentioned like straight away that you thought that it had was probably going to be the night one main event.
It could be, yeah. I think I'll stick with that. I think that's very likely to be the main event of the first night. So then we have Heidi Loveless and NRG. They've teamed a bunch this past season, doing pretty well together. And they're going to be going up against the Sendai Girls, who were very well loved and went to the semifinals during the 2012 King of Trios. Really strong team. Two of the three are back. We have Maiko Satomura, Dash Chisako, and making her debut, Cassandra Miyagi. Do you think Sendai Girls are going to go far again, Justin, or are they out in round one?
I have Heidi Loveless and NRG losing in the first round to the Sendai Girls.
As do I.
Well, we might have the same idea here.
I wonder.
We'll see. They had success in the past. Historically, there has been some regression for the import teams coming in again that did well the first time, you know, going out early. But I think it's going to be just the opposite this time.
Wait, you mean last year?
No. Years ago. In general, there are, you know, like I remember a team of Soccer Pro did really well, and then they came back again and they didn't do as well. So there's a lot of, there can be some drop off there. I feel like they did. Maybe that's not right. Maybe they did exactly the same. I'm not sure.
No, because they went to the semifinals their first year, and the next year they were out in the quarterfinals. And then right. The year after that, they lost in the opening round when they sent the Comedy Osaka Pro Trio.
Yeah, so I did. Okay, so I was right. They got progressively worse. So there is.
Yeah, something. And then they just didn't come back for Trio. So
really, that was really bad. they're actually banned from Trios this year. I think Sendai Girls walk away with the win.
Yeah, that should be fun. I think I really like seeing. I'm very excited to see Race Jackson and Heidi interact with the Sendai girls. I think their styles are pretty complimentary, and Hype being the larger guy messing around with the smaller female team could be really fun too.
I think he might get kicked in the head.
That's a pretty safe bet. I think all of them will probably get kicked in the head.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good shot, but I really think he's going to get kicked in the head. Possibly eat a Death Valley bomb, but you will have to see.
Now, for me, this first round match was the hardest one for me to pick. We have the Batiri, Oberyn, Kodama, and Kobold versus Major League Mustache, consisting of Dasher Hatfield and brand new Campeones de Parejas, Mustache Mountain, of Tyler Bate and Trent Seven. Now, for me, this is hard to pick because I really didn't think the Batiri were going to go out in the first round. You got literal fresh coat of paint. They're part of this big Nightmare Warriors overarching story. But I also don't think you want your new tag team champions to lose in the opening round. And on top of that, I've looked at King of Trios past. Whenever there's been a Campeones de Parejas team in the tournament, they have never lost in the first round. It's with that in mind that I pulled the trigger and I said Major League Mustache is going to move on to round two. That was the tiebreaker for me. Do you agree?
I don't. We finally have a disagreement here.
Well, we had one with Police Squad and United Nations, but
that's true. Yeah, that didn't really matter. I don't see that taking place. When I started thinking about what Touchdown would be doing on this show, and I realized the answer was nothing, and then I realized the answer was something, it was in this match. I expect there to be some chicanery here, and I expect the Vitieri to walk away with a win over Dasher Hatfield, or potentially directly on Mustache Mountain, because I imagine... But sometime soon here, the material will be challenging for the tag belts again.
More on that later.
Yeah.
So speaking of Mr. Touchdown, Hallowicken, who of course has Hex Mr. Touchdown and some other people, he has a team coming into King of Trios, but we don't know any of the participants. It is Hallowicken and two other unnamed men. But we do know they're going to be taking on a team of ants, non-colony ants. Well, there's one colony member, a worker ant, and he's teaming up with Arctic Rescue Ant and Missile Assault Man. So I guess, you know, they're friends. They teamed up at the one show, and now they're here. They're facing Hallowicken. So my impression then is, Justin, that you don't think Mark Angelo said he's going to be one of Hallowicken's partners.
I do not.
Okay, so who do you think are going to be his partners?
I don't know. I mean, I think we both agreed that one of his partners is going to be one of the men on the other team.
Right.
At one point, if not two people on the other team, which would really be devastating. I think it's going to be, I'm assuming Frightmare. And then I'm assuming that it's one of the other men on the team. That's the only thing I could think of.
Well, you're forgetting about Icarus, and you're also forgetting Frightmares and Rey de Voladores.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait, that's what I meant. Yeah, it was Hallowicken, Icarus, and then whoever the guy was. Now, I'm interested to see, do you think the same thing, or were you on a different path?
I think Hallowicken's team is going to win, no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, I think the cool thing to do would be, he comes out with Icarus, and people are like, who's the third man? And then Hulk Hogan comes out. No, I'm just kidding. I think one of the ants gets hexed by Mantis on the ground or something. One of them, and the cool thing is it could be any of them. The description of the betrayer fits all three of the ants on that team. And then they seem like they're at a huge disadvantage, but maybe we see Pinky Sanchez or somebody run into the match to even up the odds. But even in that scenario, even no matter who Halavik's partners are, I see him winning the match, his team.
Yeah, I see the same way. If I were guessing, I think it's going to be Missile Assault Man. I think he's going to be the one to join the other side. And the Piggy Sanchez thing makes total sense to sort of like even him out. And I love Piggy Sanchez, so I'd love to see that happen. But I don't think it'll be enough. I still think the Hollow Wicked team will prevail.
Yeah, and we mentioned people missing on the card. You mentioned Touchdown. You mentioned Piggy Sanchez. No Eddie Kingston on this card so far.
That's true. That's weird. Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought he was going to be part of – when they were teasing the Warriors 3, I thought he was going to be kind of on that team for whatever
reason. Me too.
But then he wasn't, so –
we'll see. Maybe he's got some night 2, night 3 fun stuff coming up.
That'd be great.
I think last year he was just in the opening round and then lost, and that was it.
Yeah, he wasn't on it. He's never – I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Because it is a focus. It does focus on teams and things like that. So it does – when you think of Eddie Kingston, you don't think of teams, tag gauntlets, or high flyers. So the idea of it involving Eddie Kingston in any way or not involving him is not that surprising.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, and I liked when they had him around that one year when he defended the grand championship. I thought that was a really smart thing to do.
Yeah, that was cool.
But he's not a grand champion anymore, so say la vie.
Don't say that to his face, though. He'll go crazy.
I won't say anything to his face.
No.
Because he won't be there. Well, he might be there. I don't know. It'd be cool, like, you know, if Gargano gets eliminated, I think it'd be, you know, he's certainly a candidate for Rey de Voladores. But I also think him getting, like, a match against like Kingston on one of those nights as like a cool farewell thing. Maybe some other people, like some dream singles matches to kind of go out on. That'd be kind of
fun. That would be cool.
But we'll see. We'll see if he's even there at all. So then we have our final first round match. Team Shimmer of Crazy Mary Dobson, Candice LeRae, and Solo Darling against Team Original Divas Revolution, which consists of Mickie James, Jazz, and the former Victoria, now called Lisa Marie Varon. A cumbersome name, but a cool idea. A really interesting match. What do you think?
I am going to go here. I think it's a really interesting match too. It's one of those where when they bring in names like that, I always think, I wonder if it's going to be any good. But does it really matter? You know what I mean? Like, is that really why I'm watching this? And I don't think it is. I do think Team Shimmer is going to advance over the Divas team, but I expect it to be a lot of fun.
I think the Original Divas Revolution team is going to advance.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. I can't wait to see who you have them paired with. Second round.
Yeah, that was
my dilemma. Oh, okay. Interesting.
All right, so that's our night one then. I think we're split then. We have 5 matches in common, but 3 differences, if my math is correct.
Yeah, sounds right.
All right, so let's go into our quarterfinal round. I'm not sure how you want to do this, but I'll say off the bat, I think we both have Sendai Girls and Team JWP.
You betcha. That's my night 2 main event.
Yeah, I think that's a really strong choice for a night 2 main event. I keep remembering back to Night 3 of King of Trios 2012 where they had that Joshi tag team match that tore the house down.
Yeah.
And I think putting those two teams together in the Night 2 main event would be stellar and really kind of fit the motif of the weekend of strong women's trios. I think that would be an awesome, awesome showcase match.
I agree completely.
Now, do you think they're going to have Hallow Wicked's team against the Colony on Night 2?
Yes, I do.
As do I. Yes, yes. Okay. And I think, did you have a winner? Or who do you have a winner for Sendai JWP? I kind of just flipped a coin and said Sendai. I really don't have any strong feelings about who wins one or the other.
Team JWP.
Okay. Any particular reason?
Sendai girls went further the first time, and JWP went out a little bit earlier. So I expect them to kind of do better this time around. Also, just in looking at the teams themselves, I like the strength. And I like the I like what Team JWP brings. So I just in kind of researching both teams, I like them advancing here.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Chris, that same reason. I was like, well, they already had something. I go that far the first time. And again, it was a literal coin flip. But I did a little bit of research, too. And it wasn't like, you know, part of me was looking at, oh, is there any two girls on these teams that can go to the tag gauntlet? And I know that one of the girls on the JWP team, I want to say Nakamori, she's not on a tag team with any of the other people there, but I think she's in a lot of tag matches. So I think that made me kind of think like, they can pair her up with another person on the JWP team and have them enter the tag gauntlet or something. So, but again, I don't have strong feelings. That doesn't like mess up my bracket if one of those two teams wins over the other. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
All right. So what about Nightmare Warriors versus Colony?
Nightmare Warriors versus Colony is the one that I think I'm going to change on the fly here. Because I with that injury, I see them getting past, but since they're still playing it up, I am going to say I had the Colony winning. I'm looking at it. It's written right here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Where the Colony was winning. But I forgot that he was hurt. So I'm going to go with the Wicked Team.
That is my choice as well, and no changes there. That's who I had from the start.
Yeah, I felt like making the Colony returning looking strong was important. From them being gone so long, but since they're not at full strength, it's obviously not as important. Hence the my mind changing here, and I'm going to go with – I'm even going to change it on the way it's written here. I wrote Wicked TBA. So.
All right. So this is where we're going to have to go splits here because we don't have the same teams for the rest of these. But you asked who I put the original Divas Revolution with. I put them with the Warriors 3. I think they want to continue that little issue that they tease between Mickie James and Princess Kimberly during National Pro Wrestling Day. And I think they end the issue here with a strong win for the Warriors 3 over the original Divas Revolution.
I had Team Shimmer here. And I had the Warriors 3 winning in this spot. So that is interesting.
And you had the Warriors 3 winning, you said?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. So that means then we had the same we pretty much created the exact same bracket. It sounds like we just had a couple different winners because then
so then
your last team would be the Police Squad versus the Petiri.
Yeah.
And so that means mine is Major League Mustache versus the United Nations.
Correct.
Okay. So then go ahead.
Those were tough matches. Those were tough matches to call. Both of those pairings were tough, but something about a team of cops versus a team of goblins really just tickled me in like just the right spot. I needed to see that, and it really fit everything else in looking at those matches. I thought, okay, I can really see that happening. Police. Just looking at it now, seeing Police Squad versus the Petiri puts a smile on my face. So even if I just hope it happens.
So who do you think is going to win?
The Petiri.
All right. I have the Major League Mustache team defeating the United Nations.
Interesting. Okay. So you have the United Nations going into the second round, but losing there.
Correct.
Interesting. See, I thought, again, that was the hardest for me. Police Squad, United Nations. But I thought, the idea of them winning and then losing, like, what does it push? Like, what does that do with their storyline, you know, of them being losers? So I either thought the United Nations were going to do really well or do terrible and nothing in between. You know what I mean? And I just couldn't justify them going very far. So that's another reason I went with Police Squad.
That's fair. Yeah, because I guess something happened on the pay-per-view. Them like Coronado like admonished them for losing.
Yeah, he said they better shape up.
Okay, so I think you want to give them that hope in round one that things are getting better.
Yeah,
I think them losing kind of and to blow it off on night one is sort of lame. But I think on night two, especially losing to Campiones and Hatfield, is something like, all right, well, yeah, they lost, but they lost to exceptional team. But Juan, of course, would just not be happy with it. And, you know, there's sort of that Hatfield-Juan issue, kind of, sort of, maybe, that they could play upon. Who knows? You know, I'm thinking more deep about that match than I thought. They were kind of like the two leftover teams I had. And I was like, yeah, that'd be a good match. And so there you go.
That would be hysterically funny if after beating the police squad, United Nations came together and, like, you know, and you know, fans are, like, cheering because they fought hard. And Juan's like, we've turned a page, fellas. You know, we're better and stronger than ever. And in night two, they lose a really strong match, and, you know, fans are still cheering for them, and they go to high-five each other, and Juan's just like, losers! You're losers! And just buries them again, like, one night later. That would be pretty good.
I'm telling you, that'd be classic Juan Francisco de Coronado.
It would, yeah. Just what have you done for me Friday? Yeah, well, it's Saturday, you know. Like,
at the conclave, Prakash Sabar could sneeze wrong, and it would make him upset.
Right. Something for whatever reason, when I was picturing this match, I just pictured at the end, Juan losing, like them losing, and then he tries to assault United Nations, and then he gets arrested by the police squad. And then maybe he's like at ringside for their night two match, like they couldn't put him in a holding cell because they still have to wrestle. So he's just in handcuffs watching the match unfold. As low as Juan can get. I feel like we haven't seen rock bottom for him. Then again, I said that about Heidi Lovelace, and then she went on to just absolutely destroy Princess Kimberly. So what do I know?
Not much, apparently.
No, that much is clear. Although, you know, we basically have the same three winners for the quarterfinal, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So, all right, so let's go into our semifinals then. So we go in here. You have the Hallowickets team, Hallowickets team, JWP, the Warriors 3, and the Battiri.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. I have the matches that I wanted to see. Well, I'm going to keep them the same because I think it works fine the same. I have Team JWP versus Team Hallowicket. And then I have the Warriors 3 versus the Battiri. I have the Battiri beating the Warriors 3 and Team JWP beating Hallowickets team, making it Battiri and JWP in the finals.
Okay, so I have the Nightmare Warriors versus, or Hallowickets team versus Major League Mustache.
Okay.
And I have the Warriors 3 versus the Sendai Girls, or JWP. Again, for that match, it doesn't matter so much. And then I have the Warriors 3 beating the Joshi Trio, and I've got Hallowickets team defeating Major League Mustache for a finals of Warriors 3 versus Hallowickets team.
So your finals are the two teams that I thought would lose in the semifinals, essentially.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. That is fascinating. All right. So I have, I'll go ahead.
Justin, please tell me, who do you think is going to win the 2016 King of Trios tournament?
Yeah, this was tough because I think if you're telling your stories right, you have to have two teams that you want to, you know, that you could see winning. And in the year where, you know, we had a woman that became grand champion last year. We had Heidi Lovelace holding the Young Lions Cup. I thought it's really time for there to be a team that has a woman winning trios. And why not be a team of women? However, I just couldn't bring myself to vote against the Battiri. So I finally went, and I felt like it was a good time to go with the Battiri here because, I mean, you don't even have them getting out of the first round. And I kept thinking it's going to be hard for them to ever win trios, because people are going to see it coming, or they're going to say, well, this is finally the Battiri's year. And I feel like people aren't really talking about them. And so this would be a good year for them to fly under the radar, face someone that you could conceivably see winning, becoming the first women's team, you know, Takara having that milestone, but ultimately upending them and winning the entire thing. The Battiri, that's who I have.
So I kind of thought along the same lines you did. If you're going to have this year where Princess Kimberly wins the grand championship, Heidi Lovelace was the Young Lions Cup winner, and you have a lot of really strong women's wrestling teams in the King of Trios tournament, give it to a women's team. What about giving it to a team with a woman on it? You could still have your King of Trios t-shirts for sale, and you could still tell a story there too if you wanted to. And that's why I came to the conclusion that I think the Warriors 3 are going to win King of Trios. I think Princess Kimberly gets that accolade of being the first woman ever to win King of Trios after the Grand Championship thing. That could mount even more jealousy in Heidi Lovelace, despite the fact that she has a Grand Championship title opportunity. I think just seeing all these accolades get heaped on Kim builds up the tension between them even more. It helps with Oleg because of how he had his breakout moment in King of Trios last year to bring it into this year to give him the moment of winning the whole thing, especially when, presumably, you don't have Sydney Bacabella screwing around. And then the Estonian Thunder Frog, you know, why not? People really like him. He's a very popular character. He fits well with the team. He's good. He's the current Young Lions Cup champion. I think it would be a pretty cool thing for him to add to his list as well. So I think the Warriors 3 will defeat Halo Wicked's team in the finals.
That's interesting. That's it's funny how close we were and how far we deviated from each other in the finals. It tells you a lot about this tournament and this year and how I really think there needs to be a good tournament, because I gotta be honest, I put King of Trios on a pedestal as the best tournament in professional wrestling, and I've been kind of underwhelmed the last 2 years. Since its return, it just I'd say last year was better than the years before, that's for sure, but there are still parts that just don't quite connect with me, I guess. So I'm really hoping for an exciting year this year. That's kind of the reason that I didn't go with the Warriors 3, because I feel like they're the favorite. When I look at this field, I look at them and I see them as the favorite to win the whole thing. And I never pick the favorites.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it makes too much sense. And I think that's one of the things where I would think that same thing, and then I'd be like, nope, you're thinking too much. Just pick them. And if they don't win, I'm not going to be sad or anything about it. But, you know, I just think it makes sense. I like that pick. So
it does. I mean,
obvious or not, I like it.
Right. And sometimes that's the hardest part in wrestling is knowing when to do the obvious thing. And this. Honestly, this would be I'd be great with it too. I'd be great with any four of those teams winning the whole thing. I think that's where, or really five with a healthy Colony. It just depends on, like, if the Colony was healthy, they'd have to be the favorites. I can't imagine. They've won it before, so they can't not be the favorites. But I like the story of it being it's about trios. That's the reason I went with JWP and Battiri, that it was about trios, and you went with very much an in storyline thing, which I love it when they do that. They haven't. I feel like I chose. I don't want to say something cold, but not storyline related. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I like it when it ends up being storyline related. So I'd love to see. The Wicked Warriors 3 teams in the finals, but I'll keep my pick of the Battiri because they're long overdue to get some glory.
I just feel like it might be too much like the BDK when they won Trios. So it's like, you know, they won the tag titles, and now they won King of Trios, and it's just like it feels like it's too much. It's like a Roman Reigns push of the Nightmare Warriors, if you will. Like, yeah, we get it. They're really strong, but can we show some weakness? Maybe
that would be nice. Yeah, that's the other thing I think is the key to the good Final Four is that you can switch them all around and you still have compelling matches. Like, let's say it was what we did that, like Wicked versus Warriors 3. We can switch that around. That's still a compelling match. If only one of them won. If it was JWP versus the Warriors 3. So no matter what, you'd have your first female, queen of trios, as it were. Or the other way around, what would a main event look like that had the Battiri and Hollow Wicked's team winning and existing in the main event? What would that look like? I imagine they'd have to, like, threaten something on night two, like when we're both in the main event, that's when we'll call forth, you know, Nas Muldoon or something insane. But there's intrigue top to bottom. That's the other reason that I went with it. I think this is going to be a really good tournament with a lot of unpredictability. As much as I nailed last year, I think I'm probably going to be pretty dead wrong this year.
But I think you're okay with that.
Yes, I want that. I fully support that. You know what's funny? It's hilarious that I think I'm going to be so wrong this year when I've seen every show that I could possibly see up to this point, and I hadn't watched much at all, I feel like, last year. I was less informed.
Yeah, no, and that's what bothered me so much is because you weren't watching it barely at all, and you like just nailed all those predictions.
Yeah, maybe that helped. Maybe I wouldn't. They couldn't red herring me if I didn't know what the red herrings were. I just sort of dodged them. So if the Colony win this whole tournament, like if I hadn't been watching or pay attention, I wouldn't have known they were hurting. Like, oh, the Colony's back. Oh yeah, they're winning. They're amazing. So yeah.
But you wouldn't know about the arm injury, man.
No, yeah, I wouldn't have. I'm glad you said something. Otherwise, I would have been horribly embarrassed and ashamed for picking an injured team. Is he legit injured, by the way?
I have no idea.
He probably is. Otherwise, why do it? Well, no, that's the reason you do it, because they're not going to win, and you want them to still look strong.
You don't want to rob people of that Colony reunion.
No, you do not. And but yeah, that's why I had to switch back, because I don't see him getting with the whole injury thing and Hollow Wicked taking advantage. Wait, did you say who you think Hollow Wicked's team is going to be?
No, because I don't know.
Wait a minute, you can't get away with it. You got to choose somebody.
All right. I mean, I like the Icarus and Ant guy.
You had two roads, Kevin. You had your own path, and you had my path. You took my path.
Well, I just feel like it's kind of useless to be like, if it's Icarus and Angela Seti, then like, why bother keeping it a secret?
Yeah, I don't. That would have been kind of strange.
Although Angela Seti got the pinfall in that big ant match.
He did, and you have them facing Mustache Mountain? Or did I get that right?
Yeah, I do. So that's all right. We're Halloween and Angela Seti and whatever ant gets hexed. That's who it is.
Okay.
That's where you put. That's what Angela Seti is doing in King of Trios, mofo.
Even when I said what like when you were predicting the matches, I went, "Oh, he must think Angela Seti," and then I remembered, wait, he didn't say one way or the other. So, although, that makes total sense.
If my trivia is correct, I think Hollow Wicked and Icarus are the only two people to compete in every King of Trios.
Oh.
So it would be kind of a shame if Icarus wasn't in this, and it was only Hollow Wicked.
Yeah, and also, it's not like Icarus and Dasher don't have history together. So.
Right, of course. You know, it could very well be that it is just Icarus and Touchdown, and then one of the ants in that match gets hexed, and they don't join the team.
That's true. But again, why keep it a secret? That's the strange thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know the conversation we just had earlier about the ant getting hexed and joining the team? That's why you keep it a secret.
Oh, yeah, so you think it's one of them?
Right, and then Angela Seti and Icarus come out just like, oh. And then in the match, they do the hexing, and you're like, oh, shit!
That would be interesting. It would also be an interesting divide if they did some kind of segment where the Colony is like, all right, which of you, like, we know what's going to happen, which one of you is it? You know, it's got to be one of you. You're all untrustworthy. And you're like, what? You know, like, none of us are going to plan on doing it. Like, that's crazy. We're not planning to betray you. You know, if he tries to hex us, we'll, kick him in his little tiny testes. But maybe they're unable to. Maybe the betrayer is somebody else. Or maybe it's Sanchez. Maybe Sanchez runs down to help and he just immediately turns off. he's got that red devil mask. He's been wearing it for a while now.
Yeah.
Or like, is it like a goat mask or it's something? It's
like a Satan. He's wearing it when he's in a Team Pazuzu and beyond.
Yeah, yeah. So that he would fit right in with that. And the three guys were just sort of like, thanks, real Colony, for trusting us enough to accuse us of being betrayers, and potentially leading them to kind of form their own, you know, broken Colony.
Yeah. I need them to have a team name because I just have them as ants with a Z on my bracket.
Colony deleted.
Oh, broken Arctic rescue ant, broken worker ant, and broken missile assault man.
That's it. We've done it.
If Matt Hardy somehow managed them, I would be all for this idea.
Yeah. What's I don't know. I don't know what ant he would be. He'd just be Mant Hardy.
Yeah.
Mant Hardy.
Broken xylophone ant.
Oh God. Oh. Oh, poor broken colony.
Vanguard One ant.
That'd be good. Someone could be Shannon Moore ant. Just because.
I guess.
There was a brief time back when he was doing like that gimmick in WWE, and then Shannon Moore started showing up, and they were like high-fiving, and I was like, is he Matt Hardy's son? Like, what's happening here? Like, they didn't. I never really understood it at first. And then finally on an episode of Velocity, he's like, oh, his longtime friend. I was like, oh, all right, well, there you go.
Yeah, because they were in Omega together and all that.
Yeah, I just, because I think there was one time when I, again, stopped watching wrestling much around that era, and but I would still kind of watch some of the fringe shows like Velocity and stuff like that. So I'd only get the Velocity stuff, and I was like, "What? Who is he? Is that his son?" I remember thinking, at least for a while, that was somehow Matt Hardy's adult son. Which just explains WWE in that era. That was even a possibility that could have entered my mind. But no, just a friend, just a cohort, and Mattitude or whatever that gimmick was that I've already forgotten about.
He was an MF-er, a Mattitude follower, and then Shannon Moore had his lackey, Crash Holly, who was a moron.
Yeah, boy, that was good. For that era, that was good stuff.
It was great stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so that's totally unrelated. that's it for the tournament, but there's still loads of stuff happening.
There is loads of stuff. So there's a tournament within a tournament. The Rey de Voladores, the King of the High Flyers, King of the Flippy Little Boys, as Chuck Taylor deemed it, and that will forever be in my mind. So they've announced 5 people for the tournament so far. We have Aerostar from Lucha Underground, Frightmare, who's been in, I think, 2 before but has never won it, Wani, Tony Nese from the Cruiserweight Classic, and Space Monkey, who people seem really excited about. He's from Smash Wrestling. I mean, the character certainly fits Chikara motif. And then we have 3 others who have yet to be announced. And typically they will fill those empty voids with people eliminated from the tournament on night 1. So, Justin, to you, are there any people from night 1 that you jumped out as, oh, yeah, they're going to be in Rey de Voladores?
Yeah, Cedric Alexander, but he doesn't have a hoverboard, so he's out. Otherwise, I would have just picked him. He's who I thought. Again, I didn't know. I know he's. I mean, I think I knew he was booked for PWG, but I didn't like remember. So he would have been my choice to win the thing. Even though he's like not, like he doesn't just high fly, but that's. But Chuck Taylor's correct. It's just flippy dudes. That's all. I don't know if I have the Batiri winning here, or if I have the Batiri winning the whole thing and not a woman winning. I guess I could have a woman being the top high flyer. And winning Rey de Voladores, but the only one that makes sense I still have in the tournament, and that would be Candice LeRae. So that may be a whoopsie daisy on my part. But I'm not going back now because I've put my tablet over there on the table. I can't change my picks. So I am going to say that this is the year Frightmare finally gets it done.
I chose Candice LeRae.
I'm going to be honest with you. As soon as you said you weren't picking Team Shimmer for reasons, I went, oh, God. He's going with Candice LeRae for the Rey de Voladores. He's on top of this, and I isn't. I isn't. So, that's a good choice. That's quality.
Yeah, and I saw my friend Todd from Filsinger Games. He told me that Diona Purrazzo, who you might know from NXT,
yeah,
she is going to be at King of Trios Night 2.
Oh,
so she might be entered in this Rey de Voladores, or they might just have like her and Candice and some other girls do an exhibition match on night 2, and then she won't be in it, and then I'm an idiot.
That's certainly a possibility, but you know what we really need? We need another company showcase match. Those always go well. I miss those.
Oh, brother.
Those are the best.
The one they had and just chose to never do again, you mean?
Yeah. Nova Pro Showcase. Who would you put in a Nova Pro Showcase match? Showcase tag. Ooh, match?
as a tag match?
I don't know. It doesn't have to be a tag match. I'm just making it. There has to be at least four people involved.
I'm going to stick to the tag match concept because I really like that. I'm going to say Cutie and the Beast, which is a really strong Nova tag team that we've built. There's actually now on the Nova Pro YouTube channel, there is a video. It's like a movie trailer for them, kind of explaining their origin stuff. It's really entertaining. And I think they would do really well in Chikara. So them for sure. And I would have them take on the tag team of Bobby Shields and Alexander James. I think they're a really strong heel duumvirate, and I think they would do well in that match. Bobby's probably one of the best heels on the Chikara roster. The other top heel in Chikara wrestles with somebody else in Chikara, so that would not work. and then, so the third guy, the other third really good heel. So I'll say them. Cutie and the Beast versus Bobby Shields and Alexander James. That would be my pick.
Cool. I don't know why I brought it up, but I do miss those sort of not knowing, you know, what to expect from those. But I in general like Night 2 a lot because of that, because you get lots of high flying and you get some, you know, pretty compelling matches. Sometimes I like Night 2 more than I like Night 3, to be honest.
Me too. I mean, there was years where I would say that Night 2 was the best night, like year after year after year.
Yeah, I totally agree. This is probably, I mean, if it's the way I booked it, the way you booked it, that'd be no exception. So, I don't know who's gonna win the thing. I think I said Frightmare, and I'll just stick to that because the person I thought had a good chance of winning is not going to be in the same time zone.
Well, you know what, Justin?
But
there's one reason why Night 3 hasn't been so strong in years past.
Oh yeah,
and that's because of the tag team gauntlet.
Oh my God,
they're doing it again this year. 10 team tag team gauntlet. 10 teams, gonna be real fun. Last year's tag team gauntlet was terrible.
Yeah,
and the year before that, pretty bad too. There's been a couple like fun moments in tag gauntlets, but like they always go too long, and they're just not very good. And I don't know. I guess it's a cute thing to do to get a bunch of people in one match, but man, I don't know. It's hard for me to get super jazzed about a tag gauntlet anymore.
No, it's impossible. And the crowd just dies. They just die as soon as the tag gauntlet gets going. It's just not good. Like it doesn't work in today's wrestling landscape. I'd really change it to anything else other than a tag gauntlet. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a reverse battle royal. I don't care if it's Wink Bavasur on a pole. Like whatever they need to do to like freshen that up, please do it, because this is I'm not looking forward to unless I hear that it's just amazing, I will probably skip the tag gauntlet.
I don't blame you. I mean, if I rewatch King of Trios 2015, I would just 100% skip the tag gauntlet. And the thing is, too, is they put it before intermission. And, you know, the best thing about intermission is you have a great match that goes into it, and people are like, man, that was really fun. I can't wait for the second half to start. And because you're excited, you'll go talk to some wrestlers. You might buy some merch. You might go buy some food. You'll go to the bathroom. You'll do what you got to do. And then come back to the seat, excited, happy, ready for the second half. Where after the tag gauntlet, they go to intermission, you're just like, you need that break, and not in like a good way. You're just like, finally, after watching 45 minutes of okay to bad wrestling, I can take this break now.
It's true. I mean, totally agree. Yeah, I do.
So there could be, again, there's typically like an interesting pairing or something in the tag gauntlet, but a lot of times there's just not much going on for the whole match.
It's true. I had a concept a long time ago. I don't know if you could use it for this because it actually wasn't for tag teams specifically. It was a way if they didn't want to do King of the Ring the same way over and over again. 6-on-6 or it's like a series of elimination matches throughout the night. It's where you end up with one guy in the end. I can't remember how I did it, but it came out really well when I planned the whole thing out. Because like one guy would just sit out and was like sitting on a throne while everyone else wrestled, And then they, like, half of them got eliminated, and whoever got the pinfall sat out, and the next guy came back in. I gotta find that thing again. A lot of it was just
what I'm hearing. What I'm hearing is, man, I can't remember my really great idea, but boy, was it really great.
Yeah, yeah, it was really, you know what's funny? It wasn't great. That's why I forgot it. So it wouldn't, and even then, whatever this stupid idea was would still be better than whatever they had planned for the tag gauntlet.
Well, there are teams announced for the tag team gauntlet. As we're recording this, they said they're going to announce a fifth team for it tonight. Sorry, we had to record beforehand. I don't know who the fifth team is. I'm really hoping it's Tavern Actor Team or 3.0, perhaps both. That would be ideal. But for now, we have these four teams. We have Rock Lobster and Hermit Crab. We have Team C-Stars of Ashley Vox and Demi Exo. We have a team called Des Polatone, which look like Olympians, perhaps. But I can tell you, because I know MCW kind of, and I've worked with one of these guys for Nova Pro, that this is Rob Locke and Joe Keys from MCW repackaged. They're called the Dixon Line there. So now I guess they're just doing this gimmick for this tag team match. Who knows if there'll be anything after this weekend? Hey, good for them. And then we have the Devastation Corporation of Blaster Massive and Flex Rubble Crunch. And then six more teams.
Hey, what happened to Abominus Rex and Oleg the Usurper?
Great question. That just wasn't on the special. They just abolished it. Now, I did see Sydney Bacabella posted something on Twitter that Abominus Rex was fired for not showing up. And then he said, all right, I'll just go get somebody else.
What? Okay. Well, there. I guess there's your explanation.
Makes me now really wonder my pick now for Warriors 3.
baffling. Wait. So, what do you think is going to happen?
What if he brings out his new guy to screw up Warriors 3?
Abominus Rex 2? He had trouble getting the first guy to show up for more than one match. And if he's even bigger than the last guy, it's going to take him at least 20 minutes to get to the ring, let alone do any damage. So I think that'll all be after match stuff.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm trying to... Okay, so I found the Sydney Bacabella tweet, then I found another funny tweet I really feel like I need to read.
Okay.
So he said, because my monster Abominus Rex failed to appear as advertised yesterday, Chikara Pro has canned him. Fine, I'll find a new monster.
There you go.
And then Chris Hero was on a bunch of shows this weekend. He was on AIW, Blitzkrieg Pro, and Beyond Wrestling, and he had to cancel because of an injury. And so he was originally supposed to take on Flex Rumble Crunch in Blitzkrieg Pro, which I'm like, man, I'm looking forward to that. And then it turned out to be Flex Rumble Crunch versus Icarus. So then Sydney Bacabella tweeted this: Flex Rumble Crunch went from wrestling Chris Hero to wrestling Icarus. That's like wrestling Icarus instead of Chris Hero.
That is amazing.
Yeah. So, man, I hope they can pull off that Flex Hero match. But you know what? I'm going to stay confident in my Warriors 3 pick, mostly because I think Chikara is doing a lot of stuff that they try to contain to the Wrestle Factory. So I think because all that Abominus Rex, Infinite Gauntlet, Oleg, Bacabella stuff has been in the Wrestle Factory, they're going to continue that storyline in the Wrestle Factory. So
that's true. That makes sense.
Keeping it there. I'm keeping it Warriors 3. Woo!
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so who do you have winning the Magnificent Tag Gauntlet?
Well, Justin, you said it was the Batiris' year, and I think it's their year. Win the tag gauntlet. Obari and Okudama. They're my choice.
What about Kobold?
Obari and Okudama.
Won't someone please think of Kobold?
You know, Kobold and Evil Uno had a fun opening match. Put him in Rey de Voladores. Why not?
Oh, my God. I guess that makes sense. He could be King of the Turlet and be King of the Flyers.
Obari and Okudama.
I like saying toilet like it's spelled T-E-R-L-E-T.
You know, my friend is convinced that there is a part of the country that says it as turlet unironically. Is that true?
Yeah.
Where? Is it your? Is it you? Is it
it's
you?
It's just patches of, I mean, the right cousin hooked up with the wrong uncle. And...
Okay, but have you actually heard it said aloud in your life?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In Georgia?
Yes. It's never as pronounced as me saying turlet.
So it's not like people are talking like Scruffy the janitor.
Right, because I'm not saying I'm not saying toilet funny. I'm saying the word turd. Turd,
right. I understand.
But I have heard people say, yeah, I use turd. And it's wow. so close that you're just like, well, that guy said turlet, and I'm just going to go on living my life.
I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could go on living my life. What if I heard that for real?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, it's a subject that you can't, you don't want follow up. You don't want to know what he's going to say. When you say, I'm sorry, you're going where? You don't want that clarification. So just you leave it at turlet, and you know, you don't hang out with that guy again.
Yeah. Well, do you have a winner for the tag gauntlet?
Yeah. The Olympic dummies, whatever their name is. Who cares? It does not matter. It does not matter at all. I will PayPal $10 to every team that when they come in the ring, they just lay down straight away. As fast as we can end this match, the better. Each team, $10. I will PayPal you directly for just lying down in the middle of the ring and allowing yourself to be covered.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to take you to the digital pay window, okay?
I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. Take them up on it.
For all our sakes. or just win quickly, please. Or lose quickly. You know, that's the Pinky Sanchez way, I feel like.
It is. It is the Pinky Sanchez way.
A win's quick Although or lose and- quick.
Yeah, him and Jokin like defeated the last team of the tag gauntlet in like a minute. It was great.
Yeah, and they've still got 3 points, so they're going to challenge any day now.
Any day. I was actually kind of hoping. I was like, what if they did Pinky and Jokin versus Mustache Mountain on night 3?
This is your new Quack and Shane Storm.
It's not. I just hate. No. I'll tell you it. The only thing comparable to it is when the Tomasellis had 2 points for so long. And I was like, yeah. I was like, get your third or lose it. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, geez, Vito Tomaselli's in jail and Brandon Tomaselli is dead. Okay. Can we just, this is outrageous.
They even had right. two Tomasellis, but not the same Tomasellis wrestle 2 years later. And I was
remember,
like,
I remember, you, gotta be kidding me. You were so upset about that. I remember that very clearly. See, I'll complain about things in a very broad sense, but you specialize in the minutiae of Chikara complaints, especially when it comes to points. So I'm with you, though. They just, you know, if he's not here, just take him away. Just don't let us think about it anymore. By the way, are the Tomasellis fine? I hope one of them's not really dead.
I don't think any of them are dead. I don't know if any of them are active wrestlers anymore, though.
Phew. I just didn't want to be insensitive, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what you fear.
I'm worried about that type of thing.
I can tell.
Bunch of keyboard crackers on the internet giving me guff.
Keyboard crackers. I imagine that's like, I know what you meant, but I imagine the people like cracking their knuckles before they type. Like that's what keyboard crackers was to me.
Oh, no, I'm talking about white people.
Yeah, no, I got it. I figured it out. Thank you.
Cracker is a slur for whites.
Right. No, understood. Cool. Understood. They also have the fan conclave on night 2, which I think the only thing they've announced for that is that Bryce and Mike Quackenbush are going to do a live recording of their podcast, Deep Blue Something, at the fan conclave. They might have announced something else. I can't remember. They got that Pokemon Go thing in the morning. I'm not doing that. And then, yeah, that's kind of everything. Is there anything on your wish list, Justin, for King of Trios match-wise?
Match-wise? No. Hope there's some jousting at the fan conclave. That'd be great. Some jousting. Anyway, match-wise, I kind of picked out a lot of the ones that I wanted to see. I just want to see, Satomura just crush some people. That would bring me great pleasure seeing her mow some people down. I hope it's emotional. I hope it's I just want a really good tournament and something to really sink my teeth into. Because, again, I don't know what it is. I wasn't feeling last year's tournament as much. Maybe because the clash of the challenge of the immortals was going on. and I didn't really care. And then the year before, just I feel like 2014 just wasn't. Am I wrong? Was that just not a very good tournament?
It was probably the worst country.
Was it? Okay. All right. I was making sure my memory wasn't making stuff up. It does that from time to time. But I want a really good tournament. Like top to bottom, just you know, lots of good matches and lots of stuff that makes sense and you know, high emotion. I want to care about the finals. The reason I picked the finals the way I did was because it was the most emotional match I could think of. A team that everyone feels like should have some Chikara glory by now, pitted against a team that would become the first women to ever win King of Trios. I think that's pretty tremendous in its own right. And no matter what happens, I think we could both agree that it is a wide open field and very few teams I can point to just say, well, they're out.
Yeah, same here. I do have one match wish. I don't think it's going to happen, but screw it. I'll say it out loud.
Does it involve the Gentlemen's Club?
Yes.
Every fantasy match you've ever had with King of Trios has involved the Gentlemen's Club. I don't know why I've known this, but I always know it. Go ahead. I got to hear this.
Because they have to do the comedy Atomicos on night
it's true.
Three. That's, I mean, forget the tag gauntlet. That's the staple of night three, is the comedy Atomicos match. And at the network special, the new Chuck Taylor told Dustin that there was something else in his contract that he was going to exercise. And my hope is that it is control of the Gentleman's Club. I want new Chuck Taylor with Orange Cassidy, Drew Gulak, and of course the Swamp Monster against Dustin and Team Police Squad.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I don't think Dick Justice is going away after night one. I think he'll stick around, and I think putting him in that comedy Atomicos match is the perfect place.
Yeah, he's not going somewhere. He's going to night two as a team.
He's not. Justin.
You dink. You dingus.
Well, fine. Okay, even if that's the case, he'll be eliminated there. You had him eliminated there, right?
Yes, I do, and then I'm greatly looking forward to the match you created for night three.
Okay, awesome. For some reason, I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, what do I know? Just make it happen.
I mean, it makes total sense. I even forgot that he was teasing something. That whole segment was so absurd, but, like, I don't know what thing he would want other than either the Gentleman's Club or just in general Swamp Monster. So,
Justin, I thought of something that would make it even better.
Okay, I believe you.
You know how Chuck always sings his theme song, Dinner for You, when he comes out?
Yes.
What if Orange Cassidy sang it instead?
I mean, there would be a lot of falling asleep, I think, in the back, in the lyrics. I don't know. I like the idea of, what's Orange Cassidy's gimmick exactly? Is he hungover constantly?
We don't know. We don't, is he just lethargic? Is he hungover? Is he high? Is he sleepy? Is it some sort of cocktail of all those ideas together?
Maybe.
Never
I like
explained.
The idea of, yeah, I feel like this can tie into NRG's energy drink. And like they start sponsoring Chuck Taylor and like that's their divide. It's like they go corporate or something. And Orange Cassidy's just like he's got a pep in his step now or some nonsense. And they could explain it only being in Chikara because it's the only place he had access to the energy drink.
Right.
like everywhere else, it's it doesn't he can't get it, so he's the same guy. I think that'd be pretty dope.
I'll say his Twitter handle is Old Man Slade on Twitter. He suggested that Dustin make T-shirts that say "I'm lustin' for Dustin." Oh. I'd buy one.
Really?
No, I don't know.
I guess I could draw over the D with a J.
Yeah, there you go. I'm lusting for Justin.
Yeah, that was but would I be lusting for myself?
Well, no, you design it for your girlfriend, obviously.
Oh, I see. Yeah, she definitely want a shirt that I drew on.
Right. Well, she definitely want a shirt that said that, period.
That's true. You know what she made? And I'm just going to brag on my girl now. She, her ex-brother-in-law has a birthday coming up. She made him a T-shirt with Boba Fett's like helmet logo, but it's like bleached on there. It's glorious. it annoys me how quickly she can just sort of decide she can do something and then successfully like execute it. I'm hiding it. I might just keep the shirt. It's amazing. So if I needed someone to like make a shirt that said that, I literally could count on her to do it.
Why couldn't she just make a second one for you?
I guess she could, but I don't know. I like the cat and mouse game of stealing the original one. Keep
Fair
things
enough.
Spicy.
That's Kevin. A good answer.
There's nothing That's spicier than stealing from your spouse.
I will keep that in mind.
I'm playing a long game here. 4 months from now, long I'm just going to leave it. Yeah, yeah. She'll find it in the laundry. Like, what is this? And then, you know, one thing leads to another, and I move out.
Now, are you going to start spelling your name in all caps?
Just Justin. Yeah, that all.
I'm referring to you in this Vivitch car write-up as Justin, all caps.
Yeah, please do. That would be. We used to do that when we used to do the podcast with Jerome. Because I was going through my old graphics while I was working on something for you recently, and we had your MCKF.
Right.
I think is what you were.
You were Justin Houston.
Yeah, after Gamma's call sign. And then I forgot what Jerome was.
Jerome was because it was supposed to be like a Jerome from PWG.
Right.
Like Jerome LTP Robinson, maybe was his last name. So he's Jerome LTP Cuson.
That's what it was. Yeah. So this is something.
I remember that graphic very well.
Yeah. So who would you be? I'm Justin, all caps.
Well, I don't have anyone else clever to play off of right now.
Yeah, that's true. We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
We'll workshop it. But for now, Justin, all caps. I do have one other wish for King of Trios that has nothing to do with what's in the ring.
All right.
I want ice cream bars again.
I hope you don't get ice cream bars. I hope.
Why?
I hope they announce that there's ice cream bars, and I hope you get to the line, and I hope they sell the fuck out of them.
You know, they sold out last year, both.
And did you get any?
Yeah, I got one of each.
Yeah, exactly, you motherfucker. This is the thing, is that of course you got both of them. What I'm sick of is that you're already getting a fucking three-day dessert. You're getting a fucking trough of just brownies and cookies and everything you could ever want, and your face is dunked in them, and you're just smearing across the thing as you inhale, and you look up for a second and go, needs ice cream bars. Fuck you, Kevin Ford. You don't get ice cream on top of dessert.
What just happened?
I don't know. I've been holding that in, I guess. I could go for some ice cream, to be honest.
It is really hot. It is perfect ice cream weather.
Yeah, I have a fan just pointed directly at my genitals. So,
good grief, man.
George is smoldering.
Ugh. I keep refreshing Jakar's Twitter feed, hoping they'll announce the last Tag Gauntlet team, but no luck.
Thanks a lot, Jakar.
Well, I'm not going to stay in line much longer, but I will tell you one other thing that's coming out King of Trios weekend. I mentioned our friend Todd from Filsinger Games. They are releasing a brand new Chikara set called King of Trios for the weekend. It's a new 8-card Chikara set. So far in it, they have announced 7 of the 8 names. They are Princess Kimberly, Heidi Lovelace, Juan Francisco de Coronado, Wani, Juke Joint Lucas Calhoun, Missile Assault Man, and Arctic Rescue Ant, plus one more mystery card. So that's a pretty awesome new set. It'll be on sale King of Trios weekend. I know that they accept both cash and credit cards, and they will have all the other previous Chikara sets too. So I like Filsinger Games a lot. Justin, I know you got some cards and you were digging it. So I encourage everybody, if you've never played Filsinger Games or if you need to pick up the new set, King of Trios Night 2 and 3, Conclave, or one of those two nights, go pick it up from the Filsinger Games table.
Yeah, I think my kid was even asking me about that like the last time we played. She wasn't really... I just had it around and we tried it again. We played like a game or two, but I think she even asked if we had like a, can we get other people from Chikara? I think it was a Kimberly question because she loves Kimberly. So might have to throw down some dough for that.
Yeah, do that. Cause I've actually thought, I was talking to Todd and I said, you know, it'd be great. And I might do it if I have the time. Was like, if say, you know, there's someone like your daughter, who's like, I really like Princess Kimberly. I want a Kimberly card. And you go to the table and you're not sure which of the expansion packs it's in or whatever. I want there to be a list there that's like, find your favorite Chikara wrestler. And then on the left side is the active roster, and it tells you where to find them. And then the right side is all the alumni they've made and where you can find them too. So no matter who you're looking for, if they have a Filsinger card and it is in the Chikara set, you can buy it right then and there, and you can just find it because you say, oh, I want Princess Kimberly. I'll get the set that she's in. And then boom, you're done.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
So yeah, I might have to put that together for those guys, my pals, Filsinger Games. And again, if you can't be there, you can pre-order it at filsingergames.com. It'll ship soon after King of Trios weekend is over. Definitely go do that. And follow them at Filsinger Games on Twitter. Find them on Facebook to see all the pictures and stuff. It is beautiful art. So you want to get all that stuff. And I think that's everything. So I think we need to go into our own personal plugs. So Justin, what do you have?
I got Twitter at Justin J. Houston. I'm tweeting heavily about the Cruiserweight Classic because I'm a huge fan of it. Occasional pay-per-view and NXT tweets and stuff like that. But mostly the Cruiserweight Classic. Kevin.
You can follow me on Twitter at kford13. I do encourage everybody to follow at PW Ponderings on Twitter because I will be live tweeting all three nights of King of Trios over there. In addition to that, I am fairly certain somebody is going to be live tweeting all of the Battle of Los Angeles results from PWG. And it's cool, too, because you have the time difference. So when I'm done tweeting about King of Trios, soon after that, there's going to be Battle of Los Angeles tweets. So you're going to get the results from the two huge pro wrestling tournaments this weekend over at PW Ponderings on Twitter. And of course, if you don't want spoilers, you should probably just unfollow it for the weekend. That was a hard no sell for that Twitter account. But I do a ton of Chikara stuff online. As I alluded to, I do Chikara reviews of every single one of their shows. Those are housed at chikaraspecial.wordpress.com. I also do a Tumblr where I post all of the Chikara news, whether it be a YouTube video, a match announcement, a blog, anything related to Chikara, tangentially, officially, whatever. It goes on there, chikaraspecial.tumblr.com. And I also have a YouTube channel, The Chikara Special, where I post all the promos from every Chikara show, past and present. I've been putting up some late 2011 stuff, and soon I'm going to get back to the 2016 shows. And all of that, there's a dissemination point, twitter.com/Chikara Special, where anytime any of those things is updated, it gets posted there. So if you're a Twitter person, you can follow that and get everything, a one-stop shop. No problem whatsoever. And that'll do it. I'm going to be at King of Trios all 3 days. Come say hi, I guess, if you recognize my voice, or just leave me alone. I mean, it's your call. Or don't go. I don't know your financial situation. Whatever. It'll be fun, though. You're going to miss out if you don't go. Justin, thanks for doing this with me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, especially when the product's good and we're talking about King of Trios and there's all this sort of intrigue. So, I'm looking forward to following on, along with the results too.
And I definitely encourage people to tweet us again. That's K413 for me, Justin J. Houston for Justin over there. What do you think of our predictions? Are we idiots? Do you agree with us? Who do you think is going to win King of Trios? Let us both know. I'm definitely interested to see what people have to say.
Also, I will probably do this like next week. We had someone send us a question, did we?
Yeah.
Answer.
And I think that'll be more appropriate to talk about the next show because there's just a standalone Wrestle Factory event. And the question was specifically talking about the Wrestle Factory crowd. Oh, so okay. We will save that question. We did not forget it. We have it. We will talk about it on that next episode. Thanks for the reminder, though, in case they're listening. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Hopefully, I'll see you at King of Trios. If not, again, follow along PW Ponderings on Twitter to get all three nights of Chikara results. And we'll talk to you in a little while.
Friggin' ice cream bars.
Three times what you love the most. Father, sons, and gracious host will witness the crowning supreme. But which team of three will it be? So line them up, the teams all care. With any luck, it could be your year. You'll be the king of the Rio. Yeah, you'll be the